You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Grassroots music venues in Aotearoa are struggling, which Dave Carter from Massey University wrote in an article on The Conversation, is resulting in the local live music sector being at risk. Yesterday, news and editorial director Joel spoke to Carter, who is an associate professor in the School of Music and Screen Arts at the university, about his article and what can be done to support and uplift these spaces.
What do you define as a small grassroots venue, and what differentiates the space from other venues?
I think there's a couple of differentiators at work here. Grassroots venues we would define as ones which are independently owned and operated, which have a capacity below 800 and which host live music for a paying audience at least three nights a week. So for Auckland context, there's places like Wanneybar would fit that kind of definition. In Wellington, places like Valhalla or Meow would fit that definition.
How much of a role do these venues provide for smaller local artists to curate a following?
These small venues or grassroots venues are vital for the development of new and emerging talent. It's where new artists cut their teeth. It's where they build an audience. And it's where a lot of the research and development happens in the live music and also just general music sector. It's where artists learn how to perform in front of an audience. They can test out new material. So they're really like vital cultural infrastructure.
Why and how badly are these venues struggling?
I think the why has to do with venues being at the pointy end of a series of structural, I guess, pressures that were in place pre-pandemic, but were really brought to a really sharp point during the pandemic lockdowns. And so these kind of small venues are difficult to run as a profit-making business. The sources of revenue are typically just booze sales, which means that they're reliant on packing the venues out with punters who will drink. That creates some problems when you have an increase in cost of living, so people can't spend as much money. It creates some challenges if you're a venue operator where you're primarily interested in providing a performance opportunity for new and emerging artists, building communities around music. And then a lot of venue owners talk to the challenges of balancing out that drive with a reliance on alcohol sales, then also increasing rents, intensified urbanisation, so building up of apartments and people moving into the inner city, and that bringing venues that have been there for a while into conflict with new people who have expectations or perhaps want a quiet life in the middle of a large city. And then I guess during COVID, I guess the bottom fell out of that sector where these venues that were probably in periods of feast or famine were suddenly unable to trade and couldn't easily pivot to provide another service. And so coming out of the pandemic, we then had a series of weather events in Auckland and then the Hawke's Bay kind of area, which further impacted touring circuits. And then on top of that, over the last 7 years, there's been an increase in consolidation in the live music market as Live Nation, TEG and AEG, these large multinational corporations, have increased their market share.
Are venues in certain areas in the country being impacted more than others? You mentioned Wanneybar, and I'm pretty sure you mentioned, was it Valhalla in Wellington? Mm. Are venues in Auckland, for example, doing better than those in Wellington or vice versa? Or are venues, grassroots venues, across the board struggling in the country?
I guess from the data that I have to hand, venues across the country are struggling. And I think you probably need to speak with venue owners in each of those places to get a clearer sense of what their individual pressures are. I know that venues in Christchurch at the moment are facing some very pointy, I guess, discussions with council and have been working with council to try and ameliorate some very urgent risks of apartments going up next door to a set of established venues. But broadly, we're not talking about something which is specific to a particular city, but actually an across-the-board range of structural pressures that have just come to a head in the last 7 years.
In central Auckland, at least, we have seen a crackdown on local gig posters by Auckland Council. How much do actions like these, for example, and what you mentioned with Christchurch there, how much do these examples impact these venues?
I think probably what I would say there is local councils have a really important role to play in supporting the viability and operation of grassroots music venues. And what we see in Christchurch is the council's been fairly receptive receptive to working with venues who've identified that having a bunch of apartments got next door is an operational risk for them. So I guess council role could be positive and negative, and we'd hope that all local councils are interested in supporting those grassroots venues as really key cultural infrastructure.
And adding on to that, I guess, how are venues and grassroots venues and artists, besides posters, getting their gigs out there? How are they getting people to come to their events? How are they being visible?
Yeah, I guess this is a problem across the board for the emerging part of our local sector. Visibility and cut through and what's termed discoverability, particularly for new artists, is another structural problem that's kind of reared its head in the last 7 to 10 years. So the things that folk are able to use that do seem to work are excellent. I guess Student Radio Network, of which BFM is obviously a part, and I think I know in Wellington, Radioactive has a vital part to play in promoting a local live music scene. But more generally, discoverability across the types of platforms that folk or artists have traditionally used to promote their music has gotten harder. One of those structural impacts has been the prevalence of what's called AI flop on social media, and that makes it harder for original local content to cut through, just because it's competing with a much higher volume of very clickbaity, low-cost to generate content. And then on top of, I guess, gig posters, it's word of mouth. So I teach a paper each year effectively on gig promotion, and one of the things that we've seen is word of mouth is still probably the most effective way for audiences to build around grassroots music venues, and a lot of the traditional mechanisms for engaging new audiences have gradually been made harder and harder, either because of the changes to the way that algorithms promote content or the amount of generative AI content that artists are competing with.
If we're looking outside of New Zealand, are other countries doing anything to preserve these their own grassroots venues and their own local acts that we could maybe apply here?
So Australia is our closest, I guess, international equivalent. The government there has signaled a desire to introduce levy on large-scale music events to help reinvest into grassroots music venues. The Australian Live Music Business Council has come out really championing that idea in Oz, and have argued that that should be a sector-to-sector voluntary kind of funding scheme where the larger promoters, Live Nation, AEG, TEG, are actively investing back into the local sector. And I think a similar scheme here could be fantastic. Looking further afield, the UK government has indicated a similar preference for contributions from the kind of stadium and larger live music events to be reinvested back into the grassroots sector. They've indicated that if the sector can't sort it out themselves, they're willing to legislate. And then looking further afield, France has had a scheme in place with a 3.5% contribution on all live music activity going into a central fund specifically to invest back into the grassroots and local sector, and that's been running since the late 80s.
Now, back to New Zealand, in the past, during COVID, we saw the government at the time step in and invest in venues to provide emerging artists with opportunities to garner a following, and this led to an increase in visibility, specifically for Māori, Pacific, female and gender diverse artists. What is the government and even local councils doing now, or what can they do to preserve these spaces? Should we look to other countries in terms of what they're doing, or should we sort of adapt it to a more New Zealandify it, I guess?
Yeah, look, I guess any scheme designed to support grassroots venues as that key cultural infrastructure needs to be fit for purpose and respond to our local context. In terms of what councils are doing or what government is doing, I guess I'd have to direct you to them in the first instance.
That was Massey University's Dave Carter on how grassroots music venues in New Zealand are struggling and what can be done to support them.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.